If you've been thinking about getting serious with your money, like actually serious, now's the time. The Motley Fool is offering new members 50% off their iconic stock recommendation service, Stock Advisor. This is the same service that's crushed the market with recommendations that have returned 1,057% since inception, compared to the S&P 500's 180% over that same period. This isn't guesswork. The Motley Fool has a track record of finding companies before they become household names. So if you want to invest smarter and you like saving money while doing it, go to fool.com/listen to claim your 50% off discount off a one-year term of Stock Advisor. Again, that's fool.com/listen. Returns of 1,057% are from the Motley Fool's product Stock Advisor and measured against S&P 500 returns of 180% as of July 10th, 2025. Past performance is not an indicator of future results. All investing involves a risk of loss. Individual investment results may vary.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Radio Labyrinth. This is Season 5, Episode 37. My name is Tim Andrews. That's Jeff Lieboff and Stephanie Swain. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Thank you to our guests last week. We had Ming Chen on, and we also had Dan Carroll on from Dragon Con, and we talked about virtual Dragon Con, and we appreciate everybody listening and enjoying the show. It was a nice time to catch up with those dudes. I am recuperating from a medical procedure that I had this morning. I'm really tired because I didn't get much sleep last night. I had to get up at 3 a.m. and take part 2. You guys know what Sue Prep is?
Is this for a sex change?
Yes, it is. But it's not a change. I've always been a woman. What?
Is it like Descovy for PrEP?
No. Sue Prep is, none of that stuff. It's this saline, like real salty, dense, heavy liquid that you have to mix with water and then drink so you shit your guts out and are clean enough for a doctor to go in and look at your colon and intestines and things like that.
Can't you just give yourself a douche?
Well, it is like that, but you have to, it's not an enema. You drink it and then it just wipes you clean. You know, you're clean. Clean as a whistle, as they say. And that's the worst part of it. This is my third colonoscopy that I've had in the last 11 years. And I have to get one every 3 years now because I'm almost 50 and, you know, that's just the way it is. But this one was really rough because I hate that liquid. You guys don't know. If you've had it, and I see from my Facebook what I posted today, a lot of people have had the procedure done. And if you've had it done, you know how horrible this is. And there are even people who say that I don't need anesthesia. You need anesthesia. Because one time I woke up after the procedure and I heard someone getting one who was not on anesthesia, and there's a lot of yelling and ouch.
Oh, my.
Yeah. So, I mean.
But some people pay for that.
Well, I don't know if people pay to have a camera jammed up their colon.
I think they do.
Well, you know, hey, whatever floats your boat, we're not going to judge people. I mean, not to start off on a gross, even though I am starting off on a gross thing, but yeah, so they got in there and they got everything out. And then you wake up, you know, like they're talking to you, you know, you have the anesthesiologist and one of the nurses and even the doctor. I'm, you know, just shooting the shit with him because my gastro doctor is a deadhead, an old school deadhead. And so we were talking about, you know, missing the show this summer, the Dead and Company show. And I passed out while he was talking to me about it. And the next thing you know, I wake up and I'm farting. And that's what happened. You wake up and it's just.
So is he listening to the Dead while he's monkeying around in your butt?
I don't know what they're listening to. I think they're not listening to music because he's no nonsense, but that's what he does all day. He's just looking down esophaguses and looking up buttholes. And I hope he makes an awful lot of money for doing that because that would be rough if that's what you did all day. But, you know, the place is a cool place. The people there are all masked up and, you know, it's, they got a good routine down. So
I wish he had the choice to maybe like pick a Lemmy Winks with a little headlight on. He could just send him up there.
Yeah, they send a mouse up there to do it. A trained mouse to go up there and do it. Jeff, have you ever had one of those?
Not yet.
Not yet. You're about that age. You should go get one just for the fun of it. How about you, Steph?
No.
No.
I don't even do the stuff that I'm supposed to do, the regular stuff.
Oh, no.
Like, they can tell me something's wrong, and I need to come back and do something else, and I just won't do it. Oh, I set it and forget it. Just set it for...
Your body is a Mr. Popeil, Ron Popeil rotisserie. What was that thing called? Set it and forget it. It was the what? What was it called?
What was it?
The what?
The Bass-O-Matic.
No, it wasn't the Bass-O-Matic. That's not even a real thing. But you know what? There was a real thing was that stupid fishing pole.
Pocket fisherman?
Yeah, the pocket fisherman. Whoever fishes, like, you can't fish.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Pocket fisherman.
Was that another one that cocaine miracle cleaner guy came up with? Billy, whatever his name.
That was Ron Popeil. He was the original pitch guy. Ron Popeil. Even Weird Al Yankovic had a song about it. Mr. Popeil.
Who is the? He's the one that did the spray on hair.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think he would endorse anything. My favorite one of all those dudes was Billy Mays, though.
That's what I was talking about. Cocaine dude.
Yeah, he hit his head. He didn't have his seatbelt on, and that's how he died. He hit his head on a plane ceiling.
Oh, I thought he was coked out of his mind. His heart exploded.
Well, that might be it, too. But I had always heard that he'd hit his head on the airplane roof. So, anyway. So, that was my day, my last 24 hours. Just doing all that stuff. And I was really, 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 really hungry today. But I didn't do anything about that. I wanted Chick-fil-A so bad. That's when I come out of the... When you come out of it, because you've been fasting for so long, that you're just starving. And I was just clamoring. But instead, I just got coffee. Because I
don't... He told me he found like a 20-piece... Chick-fil-A nuggets in your colon.
Who did? Doctor? My doctor?
Yeah.
How do you know my doctor?
He told me to find a 20-piece.
Oh, nice. Well,
no Polynesian sauce.
Well, that's okay. He can make his own.
Some Szechuan sauce.
Yes, yes. Nutty mustard. That's what I call it. The nutty mustard sauce is handmade. We got all sorts of stuff to talk about. No Ira today. I wonder when he's going to come back and play another game. I love that game that he came up with.
Yeah, that was so much fun.
Yes, we need to get him back. Are you guys hunkering down for Hurricane Sally?
Is that going to affect us at all?
Yeah, we're going to get a shitload of rain, like 4 inches of rain. We got flash flood warnings.
No, Tim, stop. Who told you this? Brad Nitz?
No, I don't listen to him. Kirk Mellish told me.
The whizometer?
Pardon?
The whizometer told you?
I don't know. The whizometer? That's the device that they pee in and dump over your head over there at Channel 11. And they tell the weather that way. No. The
Mellish meter?
Huh?
The Mellish meter?
Yes, the Mellish meter. It's going to be a negative 10 on Thursday. Yeah, so today I went to Home Depot and I got flood preparations and batteries and all that crap.
Is there going to be high winds?
I don't know about that. They, you know, they could be tropical depression winds, so we'll see. It could be 30 to 40 miles an hour. That's always worse than the rain, but our basement floods all the time. So I went out, and what else did I get? I just got all that shit you need, you know, in case you flood batteries and your power goes out. I started up the generator. I got up on the roof today, cleaned off all the pine needles and cleaned the gutters. So we're ready to go if it rains.
Damn, I was going to have a big gender reveal party in your backyard this weekend.
Wait until it's dry.
Set your whole yard on fire.
You see that guy who shot himself in the nuts?
No.
That's the latest one. There's a new gender reveal thing on Twitter. A guy has some sort of confetti gun or whatever. He ended up shooting himself in the balls. Hilarious.
Serves him right.
Yeah, just, you know. And then, well, you know, I'm with Trevor Noah, you know, the host of The Daily Show, the comedy show, The Daily Show. You know, it's a comedy, a nightly comedy show. Where they do comedic things. He said that the gender reveal parties are wrong because you're supposed to wait for the child to decide.
Oh, wow.
Speaking of which, before we get going, now Robbie Coltrane is in trouble. You know, Hagrid from the Harry Potter movies, he's in trouble and he's being canceled because he said something in support of J.K. Rowling. That came back up again. I guess she has a new book out. With like a Buffalo Bill type of character, you know, a guy who wants to, whatever, I don't care. But, you know, Hagrid's dead to me now. Oh, Hagrid's dead to me.
Because he supported her?
Because he supported her right to say what she said. He didn't say he agreed with her. He just supported her right to have an opinion. So now if you support somebody's right to have an opinion, you know, and I realized, and I've known this for a long time, and Steph, you're right about this too. It's all on Twitter, and once you like, you go to the CVS or the Walgreens, there's nobody talking about J.K. Rowling and how she feels about transgender people. So J- Twitter is its own country, its own little universe. And when you walk into that little town of Twitter, you have to abide by their rules. But once you leave, you can be whoever you want to be. But make sure when you're in Twitter, it's woke land.
They just want you to come in negative, unless it's about something that they like.
Yes.
But other than that, be negative.
Something that I like is doing this podcast with both of you guys. I just wanted you to know that. Hey, last week I teased that we were going to do this Happy Days, very special episode. So what I want to do and what I wanted us to do was to talk about very special episodes. You know, 70s and 80s sitcoms especially had very special episodes where, you know, somebody got molested or somebody got, you know, smoked weed or smoked cigarettes. And that was what this episode was about. It was going to be Joni smoking cigarettes. I think it was season 6, episode 17, which is a long time ago. And Fonzie had to intervene and, you know, hey, smoking ain't cool, whatever he called her. What was the nickname for her?
Shortcake.
Shortcake, that's right. I almost said Half Pint, but that's what Pa called Laura Ingalls. So what we were going to do is we were going to all try to watch it together and then comment on it while we were watching it. But there's so many weird copyright rules and there's no real way to do it. So what we're going to do is we're all going to watch it and then we're going to talk about it. And us talking about it will go on Patreon, and which you can find at patreon.com/Tim Andrews. And then after a certain amount of time, we'll put it in the regular feed. How's that sound to you guys?
If we're sure. just doing it on Patreon, why can't we do the video?
Same reason, because Patreon is strict, and if you put something up with copyrighted material on it, they will dock you. It's all about because it's, you know, because it's on Patreon, which is actually, you know, a way people make money who do podcasts. So if it's an income stream, that's even worse than putting it on YouTube.
Let's just to find some public domain very special episodes.
A public very special episode of
like Lawrence Welk show or something.
Lawrence, somebody owns Lawrence Welk. All that shit's owned. And if it's not at a TV studio or someplace, it's in a mountain, in an archive. I know it. I'm not lying. My stepmother's mother was on a syndicated show for singers. It was like American Idol, but it was on in the 50s. And she was a great lounge singer. And she was on this show. And I went and I found the episode, and it cost like $500 for the guy had to go get it out of the vault in the mountain and then transfer it to DVD. And we put it in the DVD player on Christmas morning and push play. And she was so happy to see it, but it was so cool. I never knew that.
Yeah.
Cool. My step grandma, Betty, what a voice on her. So, let's see. That's all I'm going to talk about. I'm not going to talk about my butthole anymore or my colon or anything like that. I hate it when I write notes and I abbreviate. I wrote TWIPC ? And I don't know what that means.
I put the question mark because I didn't know what TWIPC means.
It meant something, but I don't know exactly what it was. I'll think about it. I don't know. But we do have some stories to talk about. If Steph, you want to kick it off.
Oh, I can't even imagine why it's still going to go on, but The Walking Dead is finally going to end after season 11. I mean, it's been over for most of us for a while now, but.
And they're drawing it out too, over 2 years.
2 years?
Like 26 episodes.
Jesus
Christ. Is it really going to take? And then after that, it goes into the Daryl and Carol spinoff.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have some spinoff of some other crap. I don't know. Just more.
They should call it Daryl Loves Carol.
make it like a 70s sitcom.
Yeah, like Joni Loves Chachi.
Where Daryl's the superintendent of the building and all the other apartments are occupied by zombies.
Yeah. And the superintendent is a zombie, but he's lovable. He's always hitting on women.
He's like a cross between Bookman.
Here you go.
He does a dance.
Yeah.
It's a commentary on our times.
Jeff, you're still a big fan of the show. Why are they doing this? Why haven't they wrapped it up? Because there's no resolution. There's not going to be there's never going to be a resolution to this. They're not going to stumble upon a cure, right?
Well, there's a final issue of the comic book, and people are wondering if it's going to end the same way as the comic book.
How did the comic book end?
I don't want to spoil it for everybody, but it like flashes forward like 20 years.
Yeah, but they're still zombies, right?
Yeah, but they got them under control, basically.
Oh, yeah, but still, like, when you die,
yeah,
you turn into a zombie. I don't know. It's kind of like that show's Dallas or something. Jeff, all right, but it's one of those shows. It's just run for such a long time now, right? How many years has it been on? 12, 13 years?
I think it's 9.
9, okay. So 2 more seasons and then Carol and Daryl. All right. Yippee.
We go into it.
Fear the Walking Dead. Is that coming back?
Yeah, that's coming back also.
Okay. How about Walking Dead Miami? Will that be anytime soon?
Yeah, that spinoff is coming back. That was supposed to come back last year, but it got shut down because of COVID.
What did?
The production of the spinoff with the Riverdale Walking Dead.
Oh, okay.
No, I thought there really was like a CSI Walking Dead Miami.
I was just
joking. No, it's all geared toward younger people.
NCIS Des Moines. That's what I'm looking for.
Great.
All right. So anyway.
Well, and now we're all watching The Boys.
Yeah, we all caught up, everybody.
I'm caught up.
Me too.
But I should be completely done with it because the whole season should have dropped, but it did not. They're doling it out 1 week at a time. They give you those first 3 episodes, and now they're making you do this crap where you get a new episode on Friday. Like, we're not paying $90 a year for this piece of shit Prime membership where you didn't even get your stuff delivered for 5 months because of COVID.
Well, you can get COVID isn't Jeff Bezos' fault. Hey, give him a break. He got divorced and lost half of his money.
Anyway, people are pissed, if you can't tell from my reaction.
Uh-huh. Jeff is pissed.
Steph's a millennial now.
Yeah, come on. You grew up like we did with regular, you know, you had to wait. Sometimes you wait 6 months, 3 or 4 months. Remember? Okay, here's 2 examples. Who shot JR and who shot Mr. Burns? You waited all summer long and you didn't, you know, there was nothing you could do about it. Now you have to wait a week. You can't wait a week?
I mean, I can wait a week, but don't give me, you know, you give me everything and then you just like take it back. You can't do that. You can't flowers for Algernon people. You can't let them have it and then take it away.
Yeah,
it's garbage. It's different if the series started out that way, doling it out an episode at a time. But the fact that they gave you the first season, then they come back with this bullshit.
Yeah.
And especially when most people, they had already planned, I'm going to binge the hell out of this and then find out there's only 3 episodes.
Now, so, don't you look.
Well, this keeps the talk of The Boys going for at least a month instead of all happening in 1 weekend and then it's over and everybody stops talking about it.
Well, I'm not that as big of a douchebag, nor do I care enough to go on the rating system and just assail them that like these other little jerks are.
Right. So
they're going on there and they're giving them garbage ratings to make the series like a 2.1 just because they didn't get all their episodes at one time.
Well, you know, I get it. It would have been nice to have binged the whole thing. I mean, I like that. If you have that option if you like. But
just shut up and watch it when it comes on. Watch the after show.
Yeah, watch the after show and all that shit. But I do like it so far this season. I was a little bored this most recent episode.
Yeah, it was a filler episode.
Yeah, it was kind of filler, but there was a lot of, you know, oh, I love you. Oh, I love you. Let's make love. And but we can't be together. That seemed to be the theme. But Aya Cash's character, Stormfront, is really starting to be my new favorite. I like her in-your-face attitude. And I know that a lot of people are mad because in the comic book, Stormfront is a guy. I understand that. But, you know, she's pretty fucking good actress. And
I know why you like her, though.
And she's selling it. Why?
Oh, right.
Whatever. She's a great actress. I liked her on the other stuff that she was in. What was
it? The worst.
She's really good in that. And she's fucking hilarious. So, and I do like that she gives Homelander the red ass. But
she was scared, though, when he fired up those eyeballs.
Yeah, that's true.
She backed her ass down. So I'm wondering if the two of them are the most powerful, you know, but she still feels threatened by his ass. That's why she has to manipulate him. She can't just...
Right.
Crush his ass because he is so damn powerful.
Gus Fring isn't afraid of him.
He isn't. And that makes me wonder if Gus has got another little something something in his back pocket that's even more powerful than any of them.
I don't know.
Shoot some V.
What's that?
Been shooting up some V.
Yeah. Was he on last season, Mr. Edgar?
Yeah, that's the very end.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I hardly remember it, but yeah, he's the chief of Vought. I love him, man. He's really solidified himself as the go-to bad guy if the series is really good. And he's such an amazing actor. You know, the first time I saw him that I can recall is Do the Right Thing. And he was the guy that rode the bicycle around. And then he was just, you know, spotty in a lot of different things in the early 90s. But he's a great actor, so I'm happy to see him in a lot of stuff. Let's see. Yeah, anyway, Aya Cash is great. Sean Ashmore is Lamplighter. Those are some of the new characters on the show. Jeff's favorite part was watching Homelander give head to himself almost.
But he didn't. But he.
I know. But that was a funny scene. That whole character. At first, I thought, oh, maybe she was still alive.
Oh yeah.
But no, she wasn't alive. Like,
but he burned her eye holes out. There's no way she's still alive. But
yeah,
I thought maybe he cloned her.
Yeah, not a ruddy guy named Doppelganger.
Guy putting that breast milk.
I know that's gross, but and the Homeland is such a creepy character. It's like, I like where the season's going though, and there's going to be a third season, so that's pretty fucking cool. So we're going to be talking about it every week. So since it's a weekly show, we can do that now.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, just as long as these assholes don't get it canceled by giving it, you know, no rating at all.
Yeah, no doubt.
But you know what else is pretty cool is it was really sad. We all, I think, agree whenever Adam West died, and then we lost him as Mayor West on Family Guy. Mm-hmm. But he's going to have a brother that's rolling up on the set, somebody that we are all very familiar with, Mr. Sam Elliott.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to kind of be taking his place, and his name, because he's a cowboy, is Wild Wild West.
Wild Wild.
His first name is Wild, and his middle name is Wild.
That's my middle name, Wild. Let me see if I can get into the voice. Coors, the banquet beer. You got to do that upper lip
thing. Yeah, you got to have the mustache on your upper lip there.
Well, you can also do the lip hanging over. There was a movie he was in a couple of years ago where he didn't have a mustache and he looked really bizarre. Played an asshole.
What made you decide to take the role on Family Guy, Sam?
Funny. Why else do you think Sam Elliott sits and watches Family Guy?
Well, actually, he turned him down whenever they first pitched the idea to him because they wanted him to just kind of be himself, play himself, and he was not into it at all. They had to kind of make this character, this Wild Wild West character, that his own natural vernacular would fit in with, but it's still somebody different than him. That's the only reason why he agreed to do it.
Yeah, I don't understand that. That was what was cool about Adam West being the mayor, or what's cool about James Woods being on the show, although I doubt Seth MacFarlane would have him on the show now. But James Woods was just James Woods, the actor, but he was also a weird dude.
And I don't know that Seth wouldn't have him on the show. He doesn't really do anything on that. He hasn't been on the show since like 2010.
No, I think they changed the name of the school too.
Yeah.
James Woods tied to something else.
Because James Woods is a Trump supporter and Seth MacFarlane is super woke. So I don't think
that woke.
Yeah, he is. If you see him on Twitter, he is. It doesn't matter. I'm just saying that I think that's why you don't see James Woods. He's, you know, pro-Republican or whatever.
No, I only meant just because I just heard him on Dax Shepard's podcast not that long ago, and he is woke, but to the degree where he hates people being canceled.
Oh, I know. Because he's
very against that.
Because he's a creative type, and he thinks that you should be able to do what you want to do on your show. You know, it's really, and I can agree with that, because life is about how you act, not about how you write or how you create. You know, you can create anything. Any story is a viable story to tell. But if you act like a normal person and a decent person, then you're a decent person. If you act like a shithead, then you're a shithead. So that's how I view things, you know. But Sam Elliott will be on Family Guy.
We'll all be digging that. I know that you were probably freaking out a little bit, Tim, when they canceled the Venture Brothers.
I was mad. I wasn't freaking out, but I was pissed because it's such a good show. I know it takes forever to make an episode, but it's all because they care about their craft and they work really hard on them. But what's the news? Are they coming back?
It looks like HBO Max may be picking them up. So
good.
That would be, HBO Max is going to be like some animation juggernaut probably.
Well, it's the same company. That's what fucks me up in the head. It's the same company, right? Time Warner owns Adult Swim. Time Warner owns HBO Max, right? Mm. Right? Am I right or am I wrong? Yeah. So
You're right.
They already have they have all the old episodes on HBO Max. They have all the old episodes of Space Ghost Coast to Coast, I believe. All sorts of stuff from Adult Swim that we like. You know, and the other day I was watching, do you remember Courageous Cat?
Oh, the music. Yeah, okay. All right. Yeah, I do remember.
And Minute Mouse, was that the name of his site?
Yeah.
Minute Mouse, yeah. And then they always fought this stupid frog. The episodes are terrible. I'm watching it. But when I was a kid, I loved that show because I loved the car and I loved the song. So I'm like, I'm going to watch a couple of these episodes. The animation wasn't very good. It was very cheaply produced. But I'm looking at it now as a 49-year-old as opposed to a 6-year-old. And I started thinking about all these old animators and stuff and how much work they did. And that show wasn't on a network. It was just syndicated. But it was pretty cool other than the awful animation and bad story. Do you remember the frog? It was like kind of a cross.
Edward G. Robinson.
Yeah, but it didn't sound like it. It sounded like Edward G. Robinson and Humphrey Bogart had a baby. That's what it sounded like.
Well, Jeff, if I can get us some cheap airfare, you think we could maybe fly over to Taiwan and get this chocolate-covered Whopper?
What color does that turn your poop?
I can't even imagine. And it was just supposed to be like a little joke thing. Well, people were into it, right? So now they're selling this Whopper over there covered in chocolate sauce.
Gross. Gross, gross. So it's covered in wet chocolate sauce. You have to eat it with a fork or something?
No, I mean, you know, like a chocolate sauce you would put on an ice cream sundae.
So that it's hard?
No, I mean, I think it's like an in-between, like a hot fudge chocolate sauce. That's
the thing. The Whopper makes hot fudge on its own. You just have to wait a couple of hours.
This is just a little bit sweeter.
Nah, this is gross. I'm not interested in that. That's like, I could eat a hamburger or a cheeseburger with like a Krispy Kreme donut bun. You remember when that was like a thing for me?
Oh, yeah.
I could eat that.
I had that.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. It's not something I'd want to eat all the time, but I don't like the idea. First of all, it's Burger King and it's a Whopper and they're not as good as they were when they were made out of real meat and food. But, you know,
I like the Impossible Whopper. I'm all about it. I love it, but I don't want chocolate on it.
I find it impossible to not shit my pants if I eat that burger.
You order the Whopper and then take it over to Dairy Queen and have them dip it in the chocolate.
Have you ever really done that? If you like a bunch of places you like are on the same road, have you ever gone to Burger King and gotten the Whopper and then gone to McDonald's and gotten the fries?
I'll go to Zaxby's and get a salad, then McDonald's and get the fries, and then through Krispy Kreme to get my dessert. So I'll do that.
Take it all home or do you eat it in the car while you're
going? Usually I'll get some car fries and home fries.
Yeah.
I get fries to eat in the car.
You do not do that. Do you really?
Tim.
Okay, you do. You do do. Tim. Oh, man, I miss those days.
I don't do this all the time, but like when I get on a tear, you know, that's my crack. It's my cocaine. Yes. Yeah, when I get on a tear, there's no stopping me. And once the wheels are set in motion, like once I've got my shoes on, it doesn't matter. I'm going to get whatever it is that I'm dreaming about. But I am going to be very upset whenever I go trudging out and there's no Mexican pizza anymore at midnight. Mexican
pizza where?
Taco Bell.
At Taco Bell. They're getting rid of it.
I don't eat there.
Taco Bell's just going to be Bell's from now on.
Yeah.
Just why tacos. Are they getting rid of it? They are claiming that it's an environmental issue. I guess because they're saying that the Mexican pizza requires too much boxage.
So?
Paper. So I know, and people love the fuck out of this Mexican pizza. I know I do. I get it without the meat, you know, and it's a crispy, disgusting thing, but it's still good. Well, change.org, you can go and sign their petition. They're trying to get 75,000 signatures. They're up to like 51,000 signatures right now of people that are about to lose their mind. So go to change.org if you want to save this Mexican pizza and sign the petition. because they can't take everything from us. I mean, in the year of COVID, we've lost so much. Do not take this pizza from us.
I want a petition to add rum to the pineapple whip. Don't pineapple whip freeze.
Oh, that is gone, isn't it? Already, that was a little summer.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so. I think
the sign's still up at the one over by Kroger.
Oh. The what now? What were we talking about?
Pineapple whip freeze.
Oh,
it's really good. Yeah,
But I don't like anything enough to go to change.org and sign a petition. I don't care about anything.
Well,
it's worthwhile maybe, but not a fucking disgusting Taco Bell. Hey, Radio Labyrinth is brought to you by Atlanta Pizza and Gyro, who are open. And you can go to their website and find out all that information. You can go in there, sit down, have yourself a nice, delicious meal, bring the family. They have a great staff and a great owner. Atlanta Pizza in Gyro. Their website is atlantapizzagyro.com. You can order online and when you order online, you can do pickup or delivery, and you don't have to pay till you get there. So don't worry about that. You don't have to pay ahead of time. Atlanta Pizza in Gyro wants to thank everyone who has been supportive to them and to other restaurants through these tough times for the entire industry. And listen, if you have been to Atlanta Pizza in Gyro, I implore you, please leave a review on Google. And we can't forget our friend Brett Perkins, who I did reach out to. But I haven't heard back from him. Get Brett Perkins, I said, the super across the way. And his business, LDI Repro Printing of Athens. They have all of your construction printing needs, commercial or residential, in Athens since 2005 with a fast turnaround and affordable prices. Call 706-316-9366 or email them at athens@ldiline.com. Thank you, Jeff. Everything's done. Who knows if they're even going to get rid of it? You know, everything is all trickery in a weird form of advertising now, because you can't just throw a commercial on TV, radio, or whatever and expect that people are going to know about your product. You got to people talking about it in either a good or a negative way. So you got to get it on social media. You got to get it on Facebook. You got people fighting about it. Like, just take, for example, okay, I'll do these last two real quick. I want to talk about this. Falcon and the Winter Soldier, I'm stepping on you, but are filming in Atlanta. So that's great.
And yeah, that's why they just restarted, because the show was supposed to start airing in August, and they had to shut it down. So I don't know, but I was geeked about the show.
And then, oh wait, which one is the show? Falcon?
It's the Falcon and the Winter Soldier. They have their own show together.
I didn't know that. I love the fucking Falcon. I think he's really cool. Out of all that new Marvel shit, he's one of the characters I actually like. So that's cool.
And I like the Winter Soldier too. He's pretty badass. And now there's no Captain America because he's retired.
And he's showing.
He got canceled for showing his dick.
Not by everybody.
Yeah, people.
But yeah.
And then SNL is returning to 30 Rock for the first time since March. So.
And South Park's doing a COVID special on September 30th. You guys skipped over that.
I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Hour long pandemic episode on Comedy Central.
I'm sure that'll be very fucking funny.
Oh God, I can't wait.
Yeah, I can't either. We need something like that to make fun of every single person out there. Doesn't matter who you are, what you believe, they're going to make fun of you, and I hope you laugh. Because if you can't laugh, then you shouldn't watch South Park. So what I was saying about advertising? You want to talk about that show, that movie or whatever that's on Netflix, that Cuties.
Mm.
And Cuties is a movie about some girls in France who are on a dance troupe. They're prepubescent, I guess, or whatever.
You seem to know an awful lot about this movie, Tim.
Yeah, I know. And because I haven't watched it yet, but I've heard all these stories, I'm explaining as to why they do this thing. And there's an immigrant, you know, there's a lot of immigrants in France from Northern Africa and Eastern Africa. And anyway, so I guess the premise of this is that all these girls are doing that twerking and like slutty dancing, and they're way too young. You can tell that they're way too young.
They're 11.
Yeah, they're 11. And in the movie is supposed to be something that points out the ridiculousness of children acting that way, or sexually exploiting children. And so there's the fight. So now you have, this is one of those things. It's polarizing. You have the people on the right who are now labeled, okay, Trump's the people who like Trump hate this movie, and people who like Joe Biden like this movie. That's how they have it positioned. It's like, you know, I take hydroxychloroquine, I'm with Trump, or I take remdesivir. So, you know, it's just that stupid political shit that's infested everything. But this, as far as this movie goes, is Netflix put out a teaser trailer and a poster that where the girls were looking coquettish and everybody got upset by it. So now there's just fight after fight on and people arguing with each other with stupid bullshit on Facebook and Twitter about this stupid movie that some people I've seen have said they saw it and they didn't think it was that bad. Other people said, I can't watch this. But the bottom line is that it is hype and it is advertising. And then in 2020, that is the way you get your product out there, is to have people fighting about it. And it's so bizarre to me. Could you imagine when we were kids? It was like, you know, the Dunkin' Donuts, it's time to make the donuts. Fuck you. I don't want to make the donuts. Well, you know, I'm making the donuts. Well, then you're a Reagan supporter if you get up early. I mean, it's just dumb. But that's the way you got to do everything these days. Even with football now, everybody's fighting about that. Do you guys watch football on Sunday?
Little on Sunday. I watched Monday night game.
I know you watched Monday night. You must not have been very happy.
No.
I thought it was nice to see something that to me is more comfortable than watching baseball. Baseball, you're watching the game and you know there's nobody there and you know that it's super COVID-y. But you're watching football and there's hype and they got the fake crowd noise, which is kind of cool because some of them have crowds and some of them don't. But it just felt normal. It was the first time I saw something on TV live like that that made me feel normal. And plus the Bills kicked ass and it was nice. So
they're going out of their way to try and not show the crowd at all.
Yeah, I mean, there's people there, but who cares? Just
it's I mean, the empty stands, they're all the shots are like field level now.
Yeah.
Except for like the kicks. That's the only thing they can't not show the crowd, but all the rest of the game,
right,
they show from field level.
And, you know, and again, you know, the people are bitching, oh, they kneeled or they didn't kneel. I don't care about any of that. I just want to watch football. And it delivered, except for I wanted the Lions to win and it got fucking beat. So maybe that's why Steph wasn't very happy.
Well, I mean, there was no team that I have ever rooted for that won. So the Falcons, I mean, come on.
Oh, who cares about that?
I can't even.
They didn't. I'm not a, you know, yay, Falcons. I want them to do really well, of course, because they're the hometown team. But I don't really care. I was more happy to watch Brady lose because it's to me, it showed that, you know, hey, Tom Brady's great and Gronk is great and everything. But you need Bill Belichick. What you got? Go take a dump?
Steph's dog's freaking out.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Well, Steph's gone, Tim. Did you hear about that Good Times animated show that's coming to Netflix?
Yeah, I sent that text. I thought to both of you maybe it was just to her. Yeah, I saw that. What do you think about that? It's going to be on Netflix?
Yeah, and Norman Lear is doing it. So
is it set in the 70s?
No, it's supposed to be modern day, but I don't know if it's the same characters or what.
I don't know. Then why don't they just call it something else?
I don't know how they call
it. Okay.
Yeah, how they call it Good Times if it's not the same characters.
Well, there's only a couple alive still. You know, right,
they could have people doing the voices.
They could. I don't. They'd have to have Kenan Thompson do Florida. Damn.
You're wrong for that.
We did it on Saturday Night Live. That's the only reason why.
I'm just wondering if they're going to do a cartoon Penny getting burned with a cartoon iron. or a cartoon deaf boy falling down an elevator shaft.
Did that happen on that show?
Yeah, remember it was like a two-parter? Like those
very special Good Times.
Yeah, when Florida was driving the bus and there was the kid on there that was, she tried to tell that lady and the lady's like, don't be telling me how to raise my child. And it turns out that the kid was deaf and couldn't hear. And then he fell down the elevator shaft.
Wait, he was deaf and he couldn't hear?
that cancels it out. Maybe he could hear so well that he deafened by the elevator doors opening. I don't know.
Almost every episode of Good Times was a very special episode. The old lady that you fed them, you know, they thought they were eating dog food, but she only fed herself dog food. She made them meatloaf out of real meat.
Good Times was a great show. If you ever are bored and you're on YouTube, go to that television academy or whatever it is where they have people, actors talking about their shows. And you can hear, Jimmy Walker talking about the show. And then John Amos, is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm having a brain fart. He's like, yeah, I got my head and I got a big ego. And then one day after the first or second season or whatever, I got a call from Norman Lear saying, hey, you're not going to be on the show anymore. And I'm like, fuck you, and I hung up on him. because he wanted money and he didn't, he goes, this was a show about a family and it ended up being dynamite every 10 seconds and he hated it. I never really knew why he left the show, but I guess that's why. I'm not excited about this, by the way, but go ahead.
But it was also pointed out to me, even when Thelma married the football player, they never moved out of this apartment. They just all kept staying in this apartment.
No, when they get out of the ghetto in the final episode.
Right? Okay.
She marries him. He gets hurt or something, but I know she marries him and JJ gets a job as a commercial artist someplace, at least to my recollection.
And then wasn't Michael supposed to be an attorney? He was going on to be an attorney or something?
Well, yeah. Thelma's brother was going to pay for college.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Maybe Florida stayed there. I mean, because that was a nice, but did they move Wilona out with him?
I don't know. Penny. I can't remember.
I think Wilona put Penny out on the street.
Yeah, you just never saw it. I mean, once Penny got a new job on Different Strokes and never saw her again.
Yes, that's right. Her job was to date Willis.
Right. And cause every girl in America to want a giant hoop earring with their house key hanging from it.
Yeah. She was awesome on that show. I'm like, oh my God, there's Penny.
She's beautiful. She's beautiful.
Yeah, I had a crush on her back. Not when she was Penny, even though we're roughly the same. But I watch Different Strokes and reruns. I mean, not Different Strokes. I watch Good Times in reruns, like everybody else.
Sure, yeah. I loved Good Times. Good Times, All the Family, Jeffersons, all those normal.
How about Maude? Did you like Maude?
Loved Maude.
Come on, Maude.
I remember the abortion episode when I was a kid. I was like,
you're not getting abortion, Maude. I don't care what you think. How about the episode where Florida and James get in a big fight?
Oh, yeah, that was intense.
My woman ain't working. My woman ain't working. James.
Poor Michael and JJ had to sleep on the couch bed together.
That's right. That was a good show. Hey, so there's a brand new show that you guys talked about for a couple of weeks that I hadn't tuned into, but I'm all caught up. I watched all five episodes that are available. Raised by Wolves. How about Raised by Wolves, right? What a show.
Love it.
How about you, Jeff? Do you like it?
Yeah.
I haven't ever seen anything like it. And it's one of those shows that just pops up and there's no woke bullshit in it. There's just a million different kind of people and a good story. That's all I ask for.
Just the first two are directed by Ridley Scott. So it's got that Ridley Scott feel to the whole series.
Yes.
A bunch of them are directed by his son.
Yeah. And one of the characters, there's really just in a nutshell, it's a story about humanity had to leave Earth. There were atheists factions and there were religious factions that call themselves Mithras. So they're sun worshipers. And there's a lot of real stuff involved in all that. In case you guys, I did a real deep dive on this and found out like there's all sorts of things going on with the names and everything. They're all allegories for something or other, I guess. But the gist is that the atheists get to this planet, Kepler or something or other first.
Kepler 22b,
which is a real planet. And the atheists get there first because they can travel faster with less people. They don't need a big ship. So they send these two androids and they're called Mother and Father. And Mother has been programmed to be able to give birth to human embryos or to carry them to term. And so all these children are born, and I'm not going to spoil it, but these kids are born on this planet and Mother and Father are raising them, the two androids. And all of a sudden, then you find out, you know, the humans get there, the religious humans get there, whatever, the Mithras. And you find out that this mother is a battle droid of some sort. They call it a necromancer. And she actually looks like the robot from Metropolis. Remember that old, you know, that classic movie, Metropolis. And she's a necromancer. So she flies in the air. And that's got, it also has a very H.R. Giger look to it. And H.R. Giger did all the artwork for Alien. He also did Penis Landscapes, which is the reason Jello Biafra got arrested. Because he put it in his liner notes in an old Dead Kennedys album. Never heard that story. But I love this movie. This show. It's slow moving, but even though it's slow moving, it's captivating because the characters are good. Mm-hmm. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Yeah, it's good so far.
Yeah, it's super. I feel like it's super original.
Mm-hmm.
I love the whole concept of it. I love how at first you think they're really going after organized religion quite a bit of any sort, those type of zealots. But then her beliefs, the android's beliefs, are almost, they're zealot in their own right.
Yes.
She's so it's like either way you go, it's an extreme viewpoint.
Right.
Right. Like the kids, as they're raising them, they're trying to raise them as atheists, but just like naturally, the kids start developing like faith in religion.
Yeah, and I don't want to say why, because we'll spoil it. So right.
they try and talk them out of it.
Yeah.
And I love the whole, I was so surprised about the side story of the people that are impersonating the kids' parents.
Yep.
When they told their whole backstory, because I mean, it was like, oh wow, this is a whole other show here.
Right,
it all connects. And then the one, the wife that I did not realize that Danny Cooksey from Terminator 2 was going to be in this.
What?
Yeah, that's right.
She does look like Daniel Cooksey. Let's get out of here, Mr. D.
It's just like Danny Cooksey.
I think this is coming, Mr. D. Mr. D.
But I think it's great, and I'm so into, I love Father. Father's cool as shit.
He's awesome.
Can you believe Father was born in 1993.
The actor?
Yes.
Yeah, I can believe it, because we're old. But
but it was, I was like, oh my God. But he, I mean, I thought he was like 38 or something. Yeah. Just the thoughts that somebody that was born in 93 is like a grown up.
Yeah.
It baffles me.
It's one of the another thing about the show that I like is they do a lot of flashbacks to help move the story along, but it's not annoying and it doesn't distract you from the story, which I like. So if you have HBO Max, give this show a chance. It's called Raised by Wolves, and it's really good. I mean, if you like the Alien, it's, I don't know if it's in the same universe, but it does have that same feel.
It's very Ridley Scott.
Yeah,
the chick that plays Mother is going to be nominated for like every award.
Yeah, she's fantastic. Everybody, I can't rave enough about it, and I don't rave a lot about television. So,
Campion though, I hope Campion falls in a hole.
Yeah, well, Campion, little pussy.
Me.
He's like a little Anakin Skywalker.
We're going to eat it, Father. We'll eat roots.
We'll eat the fungus that I found in the hole. Let's climb down the hole. The other thing all three of us watched, I think, is Class Action Park.
Yes, so yeah. Funny.
You guys want to go jump off the suicide? Whatever. I never went there. Did you, Jeff?
No.
There were, well, I saw.
I don't even really remember commercials for it on WPIX, but they showed a bunch of them.
Yeah, I remember the commercials. I remember wanting to go there, but it's such an 80s place. Such an 80s place. And I love that they have all that footage of the people that worked there. It's like the unsupervised staff that if you got hurt, they're just like, get up.
Didn't you get jealous?
They spray you with that Bactine stuff in the room.
That's hilarious.
Your tendons ripped open by embedded teeth in the slide.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But weren't you jealous of those parties? Their end of the summer parties that they would have? I was like, oh my God, I can't imagine being a kid in the 80s and that's your job. And then they have this big ass bash there.
Yeah, but I would have been the guy outside of the shed jacking off, listening to everybody else. But you know, we went. To me, that's totally a place that we would have gone when we were kids. And Jeff would have said, "You're a chicken if you don't do this," and I would have gotten mad and done it and then hurt myself.
Hopefully.
Yes. Well, that's what would have happened, or somebody would have bullied me. And
you guys should have just told me that Chris Gethard was in, and I would have watched it a lot sooner than I did. He was like the star of the movie.
He was good. He was funny too. I mean, just the fact that he had such his own personal experience from going there.
Yeah.
If your mic sounds quiet, did you turn yourself down?
How about now? Is that better?
Yeah, a little better. A little better.
Well, you couldn't hear me beating that dog, could you?
No.
Okay, good. That was it.
Some douchebag beat his dog, and some rich fuck beat his dog, and it went viral on Twitter. And I'm sorry.
As some CEO of a company.
Yeah. So if you guys, what is that on HBO? Is that also on HBO Max or is it on something else?
That's also HBO Max.
Yeah. Check out Class Action Park, especially if you're a Gen X and you grew up in the Northeast and saw the commercials for it. It's like the dangerous Disneyland.
Now's the time we thank all of our Radio Labyrinth producers. Producer is a Radio Labyrinth Patreon member who donates $25 a month or more to our podcast. So, without further ado, thank you, Chad Shepherd, who is also a sponsor, who comes in at the $50 mark, and we appreciate it very, very much. Chad has been a member since October 6th, 2017, and we love you for it. Also, thank you to Brian Smith, Eric Malmstrom. Eric has been with us for almost 4 years. John Sutherland, member since 2018. Keith Tate, since October 14th, 2016. Matt Carter, since November 12th, 2016. Mike D, since August 1st, 2018. Sean Hall, since April 22nd, 2018. Todd Ellis, a member since January 19th, 2020. He's the youngest one. And last but not least, Emily Warren, who joined up on May 19th, 2018. Thank you to each and every one of you so very much. It's time for This Week in Pop Culture History. Defining moments in television, film, and birthdays.
So you guys, we've spent the last couple of months maybe doing a year or revisiting a month out of a year. I thought a thing we could do now would be to do this, which is This Week in Pop Culture. What do you think about that?
Let's do it.
We'll look at every day between the date that the show is released. So the show will be released on September 16th all the way through the 22nd. And then we'll do it every week. How about that?
Yeah.
Sounds like a good time.
All right. So This Week in Pop Culture. On September 16th, 1972, The Bob Newhart Show debuted on CBS. What a show. Now, I watched that when it was on, but usually with an adult, of course. Like, usually my grandparents, they watched all those CBS shows. Vague memories of that, because it wasn't on in syndication very much when we were young either. Do you remember much about it, either of you guys?
Where he was the psychiatrist?
Yeah, I mean, it was on syndication later, and we got to see it, but it took a long time.
No, I only remember Newhart.
Yeah, I love Newhart. In some ways, I think Newhart's better, but they're both really, really funny shows.
Anything with Tom Poston.
Oh, yeah. Like Mork and Mindy.
Tom Poston.
If you're going to watch a Bob Newhart show, watch the Ventriloquist one now.
What's that?
That's a great one.
Was that his last show?
No, one of his patients on the Bob Newhart show is Ventriloquist.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right. Yeah, the original show is fantastic. And he was always doing his, you know, he got famous doing a phone. He would be on the phone and that he would improv a phone bit, like of a CEO talking to somebody, and there'd be a lot of stammering and Yeah. You know, ever seen him do that? You can on YouTube. And he did a lot of that on the Bob Newhart show. So you can watch it. A lot of it's on YouTube. You can find it someplace. In 1984, ER debuted on NBC, but it's not the ER you're thinking of. It's the other ER, which also had George Clooney. But the star was Elliot Gould. And it was a sitcom. It was funny. Mary McDonnell from Dances with Wolves and Battlestar Galactica was on it. You guys remember Conchita Farrell?
Nope.
That sounds familiar.
You would know her if you saw her. She was ubiquitous on television in the 70s and 80s. C-O-N-C-H-A-T-A, Conchita Farrell. She was a very funny comedic actress. And she was on that. She played like the saucy nurse. She was always playing like the saucy, sarcastic lady. And she was very funny. Moving to September 17th, Jeff Leboff was born on September 17th. Oh, by the way, we missed Steph's birthday last week. So happy birthday, Steph, and happy early birthday, Jeff.
Yeah, happy birthday, Steph.
Oh, God bless him. Just worry with Jeff. Thanks, guys. Happy birthday, Jeff.
Yeah.
See, you didn't have to bring that up. I even took it off Facebook because I was like,
everybody be nice to me.
I don't care. I don't want to talk about it. It's like, let's pretend it didn't happen.
1964, September the 17th, 1964, Bewitched premiered on ABC. The show that made me fall in love with Elizabeth Montgomery. I liked Bewitched more than I liked I Dream of Jeannie. For some reason, I thought it was funnier. Although I watched I Dream of Jeannie just because, why wouldn't you?
But you're in love with Major Healy.
That's right. I love Major Healy. Major Healy was actually the funniest person on the show. I thought Major Healy was cool.
Which was definitely funnier than I Dream of Jeannie.
Oh, hell yeah.
For sure.
Dick Sargent wasn't as good of a Darren as Dick York was, but it was still okay.
Hey, but it was all the revolving cast of characters. Paul Lynde and Mrs. Kravitz, and then the lady that played Endora. I mean, they had so many good...
What was her name? That was Endora? No, Endora was the mom.
No, she was the...
Aunt Clara, that's her. I think I lost her. Yeah, Aunt Clara was cool. In 1967, the Doors sang Light My Fire on Ed Sullivan, and they didn't change the lyrics like they were asked to, and they were never invited back. You know that it would be untrue. Girl, we couldn't get much higher. Now, do you guys remember the Doors movie that Val Kilmer was in?
Yeah.
Directed by Oliver Stone. Okay, so if you watch the original video, or if you watch that movie, they do it in a way where like Jim Morrison gets in your face and goes, hi, remember? Watch the video from Ed Sullivan. He doesn't do that. He just sings the song. There's no emotional expression in his face at all. They just sing the song, but they did get in trouble and they were not ever invited back. In 1969, Mr. Jeff Leboff was born, like we said. In 1972, MASH premiered on CBS. All the good shows were on CBS back then. I love taking those little quizzes online. I took one the other day, a MASH quiz, and I think I got like the equivalent of a 90 on it. Jeff was pretty good with MASH trivia. You should take that, Jeff. Did you try?
I got 100.
You got 100? You did not get 100.
But 100.
You got 100. You're the only person I know who got a 100 on that.
No, Chris DePetta got 100 also.
Well, I don't follow him on Twitter, so I didn't know that.
This was a place for us to play MASH Bingo online or something.
MASH Bingo? I got hot lips. 1978, Battlestar Galactica launched on
good Battlestar Galactica.
ABC Network. No, the good one didn't really launch until 2004. The okay one launched in 1978. Although that first season was amazing. Lauren Green, you know, so it was a Western in space starring, Pa.
Bonanza
in space, Bonanza. He was a good actor, though, and that was a good show. Especially, like I said, that first season. It got a little crazy. The Galactica 1980.
Yeah, 1980 was bad.
Yeah. Well, that was just
almost as bad as the new Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, that show's good. By the way, the droid show kind of reminds me of that, though, Raised by Wolves. The thing is, with Battlestar Galactica, it had great ratings, but ABC couldn't afford to produce the show. So that's why they got fucked. That show could have run for a long time if ABC had coughed up the money, but they didn't. And then in 2009, Archer premiered on Adult Swim, and Archer's coming out soon, I believe, right?
September 17th.
Yeah, ooh, right on your birthday and on the anniversary of its launch.
Yep.
Moving on to September 19th, in 1954, The Adventures of Superman, the shorts that we all grew up watching, started. That's how everybody got introduced to Lois Lane, Jimmy Olsen, Perry White, and of course, Clark Kent and Superman. And the story of that guy, poor thing. They made that movie with Ben Affleck, right?
Yeah, George Reeves.
George Reeves, yeah.
Yeah, Hollywood Land, I believe it was called. In 1970, the Mary Tyler Moore Show debuted on CBS. She was divorced. They weren't allowed to talk about it. She left her husband and moved to Minneapolis, but they weren't allowed to mention that she was divorced, I don't think. Wouldn't want any of those people in the Midwest to get upset.
No, they left it up in the air.
Yeah, but she was divorced.
Right.
Yeah, they did leave it up. They're like, I think one of the first sitcoms where a single woman lived on her own with her kids who was divorced was One Day at a Time. Really. I think that's one of the first.
What about Alice?
What about what?
Alice.
Alice came out after One Day at a Time. Because Alice is based on a movie called Alice Doesn't Live Here Anymore.
Right, so where's her husband?
He probably died. No, we got divorced. I don't remember. I don't know that much back. I don't know the lore behind Alice.
I don't either. Linda Lavin was on Room 104, though, this week.
Yeah, you said she looked haggard.
So good acting, though.
Well, she's, 80?
Yeah, she's got to be up there in her 80s, if not late 80s.
The last thing I saw her in was an episode of The Sopranos. She plays Dr. Wendy Kobler, and she tells Meadow to go to Europe and quit college.
Right. That was 20 years ago now, though.
Oh, shit. Damn. Speaking of which, you guys, if you're a Sopranos fan and you're not listening to Talking Sopranos, you're missing out. This week's episode is great. I'll talk about it in a minute. Let's see. What else happened? You guys mind this? I'm asking.
No, it's on.
Yeah, chip in. You know, bam, tell me if I forget something. In 1981, Simon and Garfunkel reunited to perform in Central Park, and that ended up being an HBO special and an album. They had a couple of hits, and then they didn't get back together again for, what, 10 years? And, Jeff, you saw him? No, you just
saw him. Oh, I just saw Paul Simon.
That's right. They didn't. He didn't invite him again.
Chevy Chase was there, though.
Oh. Chevy Chase.
And the bongos.
Yep.
Doing a lot of me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Call me Al. You can call me. I love that concert. To everybody throwing out loose joints, thanks. 1983, the syndicated Wheel of Fortune began, and that is still on with the same two people as its main hosts and stars. So, shit, that's a long time ago.
Wheel of Fortune. Though, don't you, you know, back in the day when you would, so you won $5,000 on the wheel, mm-hmm. and you could go into the room and buy a clock for $1,400.
Yeah,
on that shopping spree.
But they, all of the shit was so overpriced.
I'll take the plaster horse for $10,000. That's it. That's all I want. I didn't win enough of it. Yep. I'll take the plaster horse.
$3,000 record player, please.
Oh, he's such a sarcastic fuck. That's why I like Pat Sajak.
He's funny. He's funny.
Especially now. Oh, too bad. He doesn't give a shit. But yeah, I love the showcase. That was kind of cool. Were you? Is that what it was called? Or the shopping room? Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. It was like, and then you could get food. They had Rice-A-Roni.
It was like, oh, you got $1,500 left. Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. I'll take.
I got you got $20 left. I'll take the bike. Or I'll take the big wheel. Thank you.
I'll take the Janis Joplin 8-track.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, you can get 12 of those for a penny. In 1994, I'm skipping ahead here. Shit. Oh, I totally skipped ahead. No, I'm good. In 1984, ER debuts on NBC again, this time the drama. And the one that actually lasted. In
1994, yeah.
Yeah. And then in 2005, How I Met Your Mother debuted. And that was on CBS, right?
Yep.
Big, big, big hit show. How long did that run? Like 10 years?
Yeah, I think so.
Huge show.
Never watched one episode.
Same here. Never saw one episode.
No, it was very good.
I didn't say it wasn't good. I just never saw an episode of it.
It was good.
Let's see. September 20th, 1960, the Flintstones began on ABC Network. Can you imagine that? I mean, that show had been on 10 or 15 years before any of us realized what it was. That show had been around. That's amazing. And
as a kid, I thought it just came out.
Yeah. And, well, you know, we got new ones, but they weren't very good because, like, the kids were growing up and we're in a rock band. Remember that?
Yeah. Terrible. No, yeah. The old ones were the way to go.
Right. Bam, bam, bam.
Kazoo is when it all started falling apart.
I liked Kazoo.
He was all right, but, you know, when you watch the older episodes.
Yes, I know.
The older. Did you take Flintstones vitamins when you were a kid, Steph?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, me too.
I did. Chewed them up. They tasted good.
They did.
Oh, we were too poor. I got the generic ones. They were the Jetsons.
I would always ask for a Dino. Please give me a Dino. Why can't I get a whole jar of Dinos?
No, we were so poor that I got Courageous Cat and Minute Mouse vitamins. It was just powder. Very intoxicating. In 1973, 90 million people watched Billie Jean King beat Bobby Riggs in the Astrodome during the hyped Battle of the Sexes tennis match. Do you remember that? I don't remember watching it, but I remember they made a movie about it a couple years ago.
Yeah.
You know, this guy is like, I could defeat any woman. And then he plays Billie Jean King and she beats the shit out of him. Dude, you're like 60 years old. You shouldn't have challenged her. She was in her prime then.
I only watched tennis when Andre Agassi was the big deal because I had the hots for him when I was like 14. That's the only time I ever followed tennis.
His dad made him play tennis, like beat the shit out of him until he became really good at tennis, or it was very domineering. I started watching Wimbledon in the early 80s because I liked John McEnroe. I liked him screaming. I'm like, I like this guy.
I always only knew him from commercials or from TV appearances where they would talk about the fact that he was this hothead.
Yeah. I don't know. One day I just started watching tennis and I got into it and then I wanted to play and I started playing. And if I weren't, you know, such a lazy ass smoker, I'd probably still play tennis. But tennis is a fun game to play if you're in shape.
I wish my parents would have beat me to make me good at something.
No, you don't. Then you have to carry that with you. Well, yeah, you just carry the beatings with you. They beat you so you'd know what it's like to be beat.
The money, you know what I mean, though? But the success and the money.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You afford the therapy, whatever.
Didn't you marry Brooke Shields?
Tim, smoking mm-hmm. ain't cool.
Yeah. Hey. Whoa. Hey. Get out of here, Henry Winkler, you creep. Oh, how bad
are we? McEnroe was married to that chick from Scandal.
Yeah,
Scandal.
Yeah, he's married to Patti Smyth.
I don't know if he still is, but he was.
Yeah. Andre Agassi was married to Steffi Graf.
That's right. He dated Brooke Shields, but he ended up marrying Steffi Graf. All right, in 1977, speaking of Fonzie jumps the shark. That episode aired September 20th, 1977. That's how freaking long ago that show was.
And that's not really when it jumped the shark.
No, it's not.
People say that's when it jumped the shark, but it had two or three more years before it really jumped the shark when Richie and everybody left.
Shark. Did you know that?
The beginning of the end, though. That was true.
No, it was not.
Seriously, at least two seasons later was the beginning of the end.
I was done with that show when Arnold's burned down and they built the new Arnold's. I never liked it again after that. The whole vibe of the show changed. Once they moved to New Arnold's.
I was finished with it when they let Styx eat at the restaurant. I was like, tired of this integration. Now it's happening in Milwaukee. We can put an end to this. No, of course I'm kidding. 1979, Buck Rogers in the 25th Century debuted on NBC. That was a cool show. Aaron Gray in tight satin outfits. No wonder that guy walked around.
Bill Gerard in the perfect parted hair.
Yes.
Had the hots, as a 7-year-old could have. As cuties. It was like a cuties type of situation.
I can't believe you
twerking in front of the Buck Rogers.
You don't come to Dragon Con to see Gil Gerard. He's there every year.
Yeah.
It's not the same now. I don't want to see him now. I want him then. I want to take a time machine and see him then.
Yeah, he's
when
old.
I was seven.
Aaron Gray still looks pretty good. Speaking of Aaron Gray, you can watch Silver Spoons every day on Antenna Network, Antenna TV. I watched an episode the other day.
God, what a fantasy.
What?
The Silver Spoons, man.
Oh, everybody wanted to be
a dream.
Yeah, everybody wanted to have a stupid train in your house and
train in your house. In room. Cool dad.
Yep.
Very supportive.
Hang out with the guy from Ozark.
Jason Bateman.
Yeah, Jason Bateman was your friend.
And Alfonso Ribeiro.
Alfonso Ribeiro came after Bateman left.
Yeah, Bateman left for just it's Your Move, and yeah. They brought in the tap dance kid.
Yep.
The tap dance kid.
The breaking board, off under $20. All right. In 1984, on this day, The Cosby Show debuted on NBC, and Who's the Boss debuted on ABC the same night. And then in 1999, Law & Order SVU began on NBC. And I just read on Twitter that they've started filming new episodes. And the first episode that Ice-T said they were working on is called Quarantine.
Oh, wow.
Ripped from the headline.
God bless it. The COVID, it has begun.
Oh, there's going to be a lot of that. And then on the 21st of September, that is another day during this week. The first Monday Night Football game was played between the Cleveland Browns and the New York Jets. Cleveland won 31-21. And the 22nd in 1985, Farm Aid aired on TNN. Remember Farm Aid? ALF debuted in 1986 on NBC. And Full House premiered on ABC in 1987. So there's a lot going on in September of these years, because you know this is when TV shows used to debut exclusively in the fall. In 1994, Friends debuted, and then in 2004, Lost began six confusing years on NBC. Although I did like most of those seasons, it got really stupid. It
started out so good, but they had no plan at all for that show.
Nope,
they're just like throw a bunch of shit at the wall, see what sticks,
yep.
And have no backstory or plan or anything whatsoever, and then let's just see how we can write ourselves out of it at the end.
Yeah.
And just pissed everybody off.
Kind of like what he did with Star Wars.
only Vince Gilligan could pull that off, him in his writer's room.
Yeah, Vince Gilligan. You know what's has been getting mixed reviews? It has nothing apropos to nothing. The new season of Fargo is getting mixed reviews. I'm going to go with the good reviews because it looks really cool. So
you know it's going to come down to The Rock as, you know, Chris being the one of the main characters. And he's, you know, it's just him as a serious actor. We'll just see.
We don't know that, do we?
We'll just see.
We'll have to see. As far as what we watched, let's see. We already talked about The Boys, Raised by Wolves, Class Action Park. I watched Joe Rogan in his new toaster oven studio with Ron White. That was a great interview. If you got a chance to see that, if you didn't get a chance to see it, check it out.
He's in Austin?
Huh?
Since he's moved to Austin, is that where he's at now?
Yeah, they pretended like they had cigars instead of weed. I don't know because it's illegal to smoke marijuana in Texas or even possess. Oh, I guess you'd have to go with the municipal laws. And then this week's Talking Sopranos I watched last night with David Proval, who played Richie Aprile. They were talking about the episode where Janice shoots Richie. It's called Knight in White Satin Armor. The reason every week I love this podcast more and more because they talk about Hollywood and they talk about specifically New York actors that kind of all knew each other and all the movies they've been in together. It's a really cool conversational podcast about The Sopranos. And if you love it, of course, they break down the episodes. But David Proval is nothing like Richie Aprile. He's a real humble person and a really interesting cat to listen to speak. That's it.
Did they touch on at all the fact that at least 10 people have been killed doing the gun during sex thing because of The Sopranos?
No. Is that true?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. No, they didn't bring that up. They didn't bring
that. Wow.
No. But he's a cool cat. And you can also get an awful lot of him on Pada Bing, which was that other podcast I was listening to. But I'm so wrapped up in these guys. I reached out and tried to see if one of them would come on the show, but I never heard back. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do? I'd love to speak to Stephen Chirippa. So maybe Jeff.
Yeah, I tried to reach out to him too, but his agent said they weren't his agents anymore, and his website said that they were, but I don't know who his new agents are.
Well, maybe did you try Facebook? I tried the direct Gmail address on the website, and I didn't get a response. So,
right.
Although I don't picture Michael Imperioli sitting there reading email all day. I just don't. Whatever. Steph, you want to talk about what you watched?
No, I mean, we already, The Boys and Raised by Wolves, and like the main things that I watched. And I finally finished Umbrella Academy, the season 2. It was pretty good. It ended well. I was into it. And I finished the Teenage Bounty Hunters. Jeff, that was like I was going to quit watching it so many times and I just couldn't. I just kept watching it. I don't know. It was just one of those shows, okay?
Wasn't it fun to see all the Atlanta stuff in there?
And that was fun. And I really enjoyed Kadeem Hardison and Method Man. I liked their whole little thing back and forth between the two of them. That was pretty good. That was a lot of the humor in it. And the girls, they were fine. It was just, you know, it's very teenagery. But anyway, enjoyed it for the most part. And I watched that movie Alive, #Alive on Netflix. No Train to Busan, but it's another Korean zombie movie or whatever. It was pretty good. I got CBS All Access. So
it's changing to Paramount Plus Network soon.
I saw that. So I started getting into Star Trek Discovery. Love it. So good. Hate it that I missed it this long. And Twilight Zone, totally into it. Very cool. And I also watched The Social Dilemma.
That's Netflix.
Jeff hates it. He's very upset about it.
I'm just mad because the continuity errors. The kid's phone broke, and his mom told him she would buy him a new phone if he could leave his phone on the counter for a week without looking at it. He makes it 3 days, and he goes and he grabs his phone, and it's fixed. What the fuck?
It's a reenactment. The show is
bullshit.
Either way, it's basically just shows you the blueprint of how they're brainwashing us. It, like, you didn't already know, but to just, they lay it all out for you and show you from beginning to end how they are completely controlling us. And a podcast I'm so into right now, Where the Bodies Are Buried. It's a new true crime podcast. This dude, Phil Chalmers, he's been doing this shit for years and years.
Chalmers.
Yeah, he goes and he interviews, you know, school shooters, serial killers, all that kind of stuff. The difference with this true crime podcast is he actually gets these fuckers on the phone. So he talks to serial killers and he gets to ask them all kinds of questions. And I mean, he talked to David Berkowitz, you name it. And they're on the, he's trying to solve other cases. Cause most of the time they only get prosecuted for, you know, 9 bodies, 8 bodies, but really they've killed like 90 people. So he's trying to get them to admit to other ones where he can help these families close, get some closure. Anyway, it's pretty cool. I think you would like it, but it's called Where the Bodies Are.
Has he spoken to, crazy megalomaniac from the Atlanta child murders yet?
No, we're gonna be on the 5th episode coming up, but yeah, I think you'd like it. And my staff pick is season 2 of Pen 15, which drops on Hulu Friday, September 18th, which I'm so excited about.
Like out of the blue, I've been waiting to hear when the season 2 is coming.
I thought this was one of the funniest shows of all last year. It's hysterical, very original, and you know, I'm very hard on ladies. It takes a lot for the ladies to make me laugh. And these two chicks are funny as hell.
Yeah, that show is hilarious.
And that's it. I'm done.
Thank you, Jeff.
My staff pick was just Archer coming back on the 17th on FXX.
What else did you watch?
Yeah, all the same stuff you guys watched.
Yeah, but you watched, let's see, I Want My MTV. What's that? Oh, you watched that documentary.
Yeah, that was a documentary on A&E about the birth of MTV. That's good.
Yeah. I should check out The Social Dilemma. You guys think I'd like it?
I think you'd have
either. You'll like the informational stuff, the reenactment part, the drama stuff that they've spliced into it. I don't think you'll like.
It's that part's lame. I'll give you that. It's stupid. I don't even know why they did that. But all the other stuff is very interesting.
Well, guys, if you're listening to the podcast version and not watching it on YouTube, you'll be able to hear all the names of all of our recent producers, current producers, and all of our supporters on Patreon. Also, I think Dustin is going to be working on a way to put those all into the YouTube video. Dustin Lawler, who's really doing a kick-ass job with these videos.
Yeah, he is.
Please, if you see him anywhere, thank him on social media or thank him in the comments on those videos.
When he's not busy rickrolling people in the Radio Shack.
Yeah, that's funny. I like that. He also runs the Radio Shack, speaking of which. I've been trying to increase our activity on social media, so I'm doing my little drawings. And
yeah, you've been doing great. That's
You're killing it, man.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. But also doing that thing of putting, you know, happy birthday, this and that, because these are things that I'm sick and tired of people fighting over the stupidest shit. I want to talk about things that people remember, that people like. And especially our generation, and maybe a little bit older, and maybe a little bit younger, but things that we like and dig. So if you see something that you'd like us to share, send it to me in an email or on social media if you follow me. And this is real this time. I'm holding right here in my hand. I'm not going to turn it around. I have a completely new layout for what we're going to be doing with Patreon. And there'll be more giveaways and more things to give you, so you're not getting taxed or whatever, all that crazy shit. But one of them will be that everybody is eligible to win prints of the drawings that I've been doing that kind of correspond with the show or things that are going on in the daytime. And we're going to get stickers. Jeff did some really cool art, and we're going to send them off and get stickers, and we're going to send them out and just have fun, because we really appreciate how much. I mean, there are people who've been with us since 2016. Patreon, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And you know, and they've stuck with us this whole time through changes and this and that, and even through COVID, which has been very difficult because a lot of people don't have the money they had a year ago. So it means an awful lot to us that you stick with us, and we want to keep bringing you interviews, content, ideas, and even more interaction from you guys. So just, you know, this is your show as much as it is ours, and sometimes I get a little like, oh, nobody, you know, blah, 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 blah. That's stupid. You all contribute in a way. And if you want to have, you know, If you want to submit a staff pick, stuff like that, post it to social media on our Facebook page, or if you're a patron, if you're donating, post it in there, because I check it every day and I'll see your notes. And if you guys want to add anything to that, feel free to.
Yeah, post it in the Radio Shack.
Yeah.
And please, please rate us and review us if you haven't already.
Yeah.
If you, especially on like Apple Podcasts and like that, just please give us a 5-star review. That would really help us get noticed.
Yeah.
We'd appreciate it.
Steph, I noticed that you have a new fur baby in your household. Are you fostering a dog?
I am. She, you know, they all have their little quirks. Mm-hmm. Okay. And she is a delight. However, she was chained to a tree out in the woods for like 2 years.
Oh.
So she liked Bobby Boucher. She ain't got the social skills.
Oh,
and we are trying real hard to get this swamp girl out of her. But she's a cute little American Staffordshire mix. She's 26 pounds and she's full grown. But she's like a little swordfish. Like she'll just flap in the air and then come back down. But she's getting it. She is getting it. She very much likes being in the house. She likes sleeping in her crate. She's into all that. But, you know, she's just wired for sound. Ready to break those chains. But, yeah, so BarkvilleDogRescue.org. We need fosters like crazy. We need donations like I can't even tell you. So anything that you guys can do, we would really appreciate it. Just support us. Tell anybody that you know who's looking for a dog, BarkvilleDogRescue.org.
Right. Well, thank you for that. And now that you can tell I'm a little gassed. I'm going to go not drink horrible all prep and just get a good night's sleep tonight. And we will talk to you next week. And until that time, please remember to keep it
tame.
Happy birthday, Jeff. Happy birthday, Ira.
Oh, yeah, Ira.
Yeah, Ira's birthday is Thursday, too.
Bucker.
Bucking Ira.
And now we give a shout-out to the rest of the donors. Aaron Roberts, Alan Barker, Amber Gilpatrick, Andrew Harbin, Andrew Malazzi, Brian Jackson, Brian Nix, Buck Monterey, Chris Cosentino, Dave Benson, Denise Reynolds, Gwyn Ketchum, Herb Lamb, Jeff Peterson, Jeremy Turman, Jesse Rosinski, Mark Weiland, Randy Reeves, Robert Kearns, Kevin Stokes, Wayne Blair, Ashley Rose, Chris Knight, JW, Kevin Schwartz, Lou Caniglio, Mary Fouquet, Ryan Wilson, Sam Wells, Walt Murray, Bradley A. Schumpert, Brandon C. Pilcher, Dustin Lawler, Jason Heft, Nick Starks, Trent, Wendy Muller, Andrew Hopkins, David C. Funk, Lauren Calderman, Robert Haley, Robert Calderman, Sherry Dougherty, and Tim Slayton. Thank you all very much. We very much appreciate it, and thank you for sticking with us for so very long and all year in this crazy 2020. Radio Labyrinth is recorded in front of a live studio audience. Well, the four of us, occasionally three, sometimes four, sometimes three, and is produced by you. For a complete list of Radio Labyrinth's awesome Patreon sponsors, just look at the show notes. Our intro theme was produced and performed by John Mark Lindell. Keep it canon.